welcome to Ray and Tay Today. It's Thursday. Woo! NBA Finals, baby. Let's do it.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. It's minutes away from the NBA Finals, and we're going to get into it. So you're listening to Ray and Tay Today, and I'm Ray. That's Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and yes, it is time for the NBA Finals. It seems like it's been forever. So listen, join the adventure, the show. We're going to get into some meaty stuff. Ray will let you know. Give us a call, 718-664-9098. You can always hit us up at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. We love reading your emails. You know, we got to you last week. We got to one. Also, the website, rayandtaytoday.com. It's got the NBA playoff tree, photos, questions, all types of topics. Very interactive and fun. And, of course, always at Twitter and Facebook. It's RAEANDTAY Today. Ray, let them know how we're going to break down this quick half-hour show, man.
Yeah, we're going to bring you another heavy hitter, quick hitter. So what we'll do is we'll go through what's going on in the world of sports. We call it breaking news, but this is not breaking news, and this is the real deal. So we'll tell you what's going on. We got some NHL finals. We've got some French Open action going on. We've got some breaking news in the world of NBA coaching, the coaching carousel. So some stuff going on there. We're going to get into this NBA Finals, of course, preview this Finals between the Spurs and the Heat, a rematch for LeBron James' perspective of 2007 when he was with the Cavs and they got swept by the Spurs. And then we're going to start a multi-episode segment where we'll talk about our top 15 NBA players of all time. So I think you'll really enjoy it. Ooh, yeah.
Well, listen, let's jump into it. Yeah, man. Well, listen, let's do a little French Open with the women. I got to tell you, Sharapova, her last match, right, as she beats Azarenka 6-1, then loses 6-2 and wins 6-4. But her last match, it took longer than Serena's whole tennis match, her last game. I couldn't believe, you know, it seemed like Sharapova wanted to, you know, try to always get that second serve in, and then she kept Azarenka alive because she kept, you know, double faulting. It was kind of interesting. But anyway, Sharapova, number two in the world, is playing number one. This is what you won, the French Open. Serena wins 6-0, 6-1. And just dominates Irena, I guess how you say it, but who was fifth in the world, and Serena was one. I don't know, Ray, this is a classic, but with the way Serena's playing and representing America again, it looks like old Serena, and pretty soon, if she winds up getting the French, and God forbid, well, not God forbid, but if she winds up doing the same thing in Wimbledon in the U.S., we'll have to look at her probably going down, and she probably already could be the GOAT in female tennis, the greatest of all time.
Well, you know, she's getting to the point where, you know, only Martina Navratilova has had more success because she's had kind of a longer tenure, and she played doubles and she played singles, and obviously Seles and Graf were her, you know, at the beginning of her career were kind of her contemporaries.
And Chris Evert.
Well, Chris Evert was, you know, it was in Martina's, you know, sort of time period, but Martina was kind of much more dominant than Chris was. But yeah, you got to think of her as also elite of in her sport, but also, you know, she's dominating her sport, and so she needs to be thought about as kind of elite in her generation, you know, in all sports. When you think about dominating your sport, so like Wayne Gretzky kind of did in hockey, and Jordan did in basketball. I mean, she's really, you know, transcending tennis.
And Tiger Woods
to her.
Yeah.
And Tiger, the way Tiger dominated his career. You know, the big knock on her in the beginning was, oh, she only wins majors. But you know what? At the end of the day, that's all we remember. It's unfortunate, but all we remember is majors. So, you know, if she can start, you know, keep winning these Grand Slam titles, then wow. And then on the men's side, unfortunately, it's a semi, but you get Djokovic and Gao. So you've got a rematch of last year's finals. You've got clearly the top two, you know, with Federer going out so early to Joe Willie Tsonga. You know, obviously all the French people were happy about that. But on the men's side, Djokovic Nadal, that's a great match too. So, and Nadal is just the king of clay. So if he wins another French Open, I mean, it's just rename the court. Roland Garros should become
Nadal.
The Rafael Nadal court.
That's a great, you know, I think that's so funny. But the dominance that he's had at the French Open, man, that's like, yo, this, he's like, this is my house and I live here. So on another total different spectrum, we're in the semifinals of the hockey playoffs. And Chicago, they play tonight. L.A. finally got back home and they won. So Chicago's up 2-1 over the Kings, defending champs. And it'll be interesting to see if the Blackhawks could try to, you know, break this series up or if the Kings just tie it up. They play tonight at 9 as well. And then the Bruins, Ray. Wow. 3-0 on the Penguins. Your boy Crosby has done nothing. No points in the series. So I don't know what's going on with the Penguins. It could be Boston is just so hot and just the whole momentum of, you know, Boston strong and just everything that's been going on in that area. But I smell Friday night the Penguins might get swept. I hate to say it.
Yeah, once you win in double overtime to take that 3-0 lead, it's hard to come back. I mean, it's basically impossible. So write Boston in, and then I still like the Blackhawks. So we'll keep an eye on hockey for you.
Yeah, definitely.
Some interesting stuff going on in that. But what about basketball?
My heart is broken. Coach of the Year, right? George Karl, Coach of the Year. Denver Nuggets fired. And, Ray, you almost don't want to win the Red Auerbach Coach of the Year Award because it's been, like, the last couple of guys that have won it within, like, a couple of years, they get fired. You know, we had Byron Scott got fired, Avery Johnson got fired, now George Karl. I don't know.
Well, I guess he technically didn't get fired. His contract ran out and they didn't renew it. But what is going on? What are you telling the fans when you win 57 games and your roster really isn't all that, and you win 57 games and you are
number three? And they let the GM go, too.
Well, that's
the GM goes to Toronto.
You're number three in the West, and then you lose your GM and your coach. So what are you telling the fans? Come out and visit. Come out and spend your money. We're playing hard.
Well, you know what you tell him? You know what you tell him? And this is, listen, George Karl didn't want to play McGee and didn't want to develop the young players. We did have our best record, but we still got bumped in the first round. And we want to try to build a team that can just get past the first or second round. So we're at a point now where with the way he runs the offense and the team, it's not going to work. So I think they want to bring in a different coach. They might even bring in Lionel Hollins, and then George Karl might go to Memphis, so they basically just trade coaches. But they want to have a little bit of a different system where they don't just run and gun. And you know what? They might be right, right?
I don't disagree, but then change the coach and leave the GM. I mean, how are you going to do both? You know, the GM of the year and the coach of the year, they both...
Well, the GM contract ran out, and you know, he was, you know, definitely the GM of the year, the hero to most. And Toronto offered him a lot of money, and they didn't want to pay it. You know, I think it's wrong. I definitely agree with you. But, you know, Denver's got to try to do what they feel they can do and to try to get out of the rut of, like, the Milwaukee Bucks of the 80s, where you're just good enough to get to the first and second round and never win. You know,
well,
so
that's true. Look, I can't really disagree with that, you know, and Denver. But look at the roster, though. Their roster isn't worthy of a third-place finish, and they're not worthy of a you know, not worthy. But you just look at that roster, and you don't think that that's a Western Conference Finals team. So, to me, they did as much as they could with their roster. So it's fundamental to the you know 15 guys that they have on their roster, but yeah, all right, shake it up in Denver. You know they're a young team. They got to build around a star. I mean, it's a star-driven league. Look at these finals, right? So we've got We've got to go with stars so that if they want to advance, they've got to build a star. A star system.
Yeah. You know, unless you try to, you know, get lucky like the, you know, the sort of very good players that the Pistons put together. But that was a that was sort of a perfect scenario.
Yeah.
The 04 Pistons was
a once-in-a-lifetime team and once-in-a-generation team, you know?
No, no, definitely. I would agree. And then also, you know, you have Brian Shaw got permission from the Pacers to talk to the Brooklyn Nets, so that domino could fall. The Kings and the Sixers are still looking for a coach, and the Clippers, the rumors are starting to swirl that CP3 wants to get his coach back and reunite with Byron Scott, so he could be coming to the Clippers. So, but they also are, you know, going to interview Lionel Hollins. So this is going to be really interesting to see where, you know. You know, now we still got these, what, five jobs and see what happens with those. But, hey, it's definitely interesting. But one thing you don't have to worry about is who we have in our finals, Eric Spoelstra and the great George Popovich. Because Popovich, could you see him and Duncan, if they win, riding off in the sunset? Could this be it?
I don't think so. You know, usually when people retire – there are rumors of it. You know, it's very rare that you just retire out of the blue. And, you know, if one retires, maybe the other one would, just because they're so, you know, tightly linked and weaved their careers together, woven. But I don't think so. I think that Timmy still has another year or two that he still wants to play. And I would think that Popovich is the master, and maybe what he says is, look, I'll ride out this big three. Like, even if I lose Timmy, you know, I've still got Tony Parker, who I took from this 19-year-old, you know, French kid and turned him into an elite point guard, helped him grow.
Top three probably in the league.
Yeah, so I think they've got at least another year or two together, and then I think obviously Timmy would his career would come to an end. I think Popovich, you know, would need to get him another big man, but I think he stays for a little bit.
Okay, that's interesting. So, well, let's from the coaching, let's break down this NBA Finals. We'll start a little bit after 9 o'clock on ABC. I expect them to get some pretty huge ratings. You know, Spurs Heat. I think right off the bat, you know, you want to know how healthy Ginobili and Wade are. I mean, obviously the Spurs get the, you know, full like nine days rest, 9.5 days rest, whatever it is, 10 days. But, you know, one mindset is if Wade is healthy, he could win in, you know, 5, 6, or 7. And then some people feel if Ginobili is healthy and Wade is not really healthy, then the Spurs could win in 6 or 7. I don't know. Do you sort of tip the scales either way based on health?
Well, we'll get into
it's a reality here.
We'll get into actual picks in a sec. But, you know, I'm assuming that everybody is going to be, you know, where they are today. Basically, you know, as healthy as you are after an 82-game season, after three rounds of playoffs. And so, you know, you are what you are. So you're not going to, you know, suddenly take the ginkgo biloba or the ginseng and suddenly be miraculously healed. So, you know, people are all banged up. It's June. And so I actually don't think that health is going to be a big deal. I think it's going to be performance on the court. So I think Wade's knee will hold up as best it can. I think they'll get as much out of Ginobili as they've gotten, you know, this far in the playoffs. So I really think that it comes down. I hope, anyway, that health isn't a determining factor, that it's really just play on the court, you know, strategy, execution, the coaches, the players, you know, all of that, how they, you know, how they play off each other, how they react to the refs, that kind of thing.
Right. So real quick, let's just go sort of at the positions and sort of look at some of the edges. I mean, obviously, we'd have to give the edge at point guard to the Spurs. Do you think, you know, Chalmers has been kind of inconsistent. Do you think, number one, Norris Cole will play more, and do you think he can stay in front of Tony Parker a little bit?
So, yes, I do think Norris Cole is going to play more. We saw a little bit of it at the end of the last series. You know, a couple games he had more minutes than Mario Chalmers did. And, you know, Eric Spoelstra at this point is just trying to find the right matchup. And I think they're just going to try and bother Tony Parker, put some different looks on him. You know, I wouldn't be
surprised. In the fourth
quarter,
you think LeBron might take him a little?
Yeah, I was about to say, I wouldn't be surprised to see LeBron on him for 5 to 8 minutes a game. Critical possessions, just put that long wingspan on him. You know, the size doesn't really affect him because he's not, you know, that bump and grind kind of player, Tony Parker. So putting a bigger guy on him doesn't really hurt, but the wingspan, right? You know, his little floaters in the lane and getting to the basket, that hurts him. So LeBron's 260 doesn't really bother him. He'll go around, but LeBron's, you know, 6'8", whatever wingspan he has. So, yeah, I do think that Spoelstra's going to throw the kitchen sink at him, including Norris Cole, including LeBron James a little bit. But, yeah, you got to give Tony Parker a decent edge there. So big edge.
Right, and then obviously, you know, Ginobili still sort of plays the six-man role, but you got Danny Green and Ginobili against sort of Wade and, I don't know, you could throw in, you know, Mike Miller a little bit, you know, who really plays, you know, I guess backup 2-3. Do you think, see, you know
Ray
what,
Allen,
I'm thinking
too.
To me, Wade, I think Wade, really all I need out of him, I need Bosch to show up, but for Miami, I think Wade, you need two great games. If he gives me two games between, you know, 20 and 30 points, LeBron could get you the other two to win four. I truly believe that.
And I think that, you know, don't forget about Ray Allen.
That's the other one I was thinking. You know?
If Ray can you know, give you 8 to 10 to 12 points and, you know, 3-4 threes, that could swing the game wide open because, you know, I do think or swing the game in Miami's favor. I do think that ultimately there's going to be a lot of ball movement by both of these teams, and so it comes down to who can hit shots, who can hit, you know, after the third or fourth pass, who can hit the shot. So this year, Danny Green has really stepped up. You know, our boy from Long Island.
Tar Heel, baby. He's a Tar Heel.
By way of North Carolina. So, you know, what's funny is that I thought that by them basically cutting Steven Jackson, that they would lose a little bit on the wing, on the perimeter, but you know, give it to the Spurs between Ginobili, Danny Green, and Kawhi Leonard. Their wing players are all playing great. So if you look at the wing, obviously you're comparing them to Wade and LeBron, and then we can just move the small forward, and obviously you give LeBron credit to anybody over anybody. But San Antonio's wing players go at it a little bit differently. But you know what? They're solid players, and I think that ultimately Popovich is going to have a philosophical question about, you know, do I let LeBron get his, and then do I go shut everybody else down? And it'll be interesting to see how they defend him, because the other thing to note is that, you know, they played twice, but those two games are meaningless, you know?
Yeah, because they never all played each other. Exactly.
Yeah. So there's nothing on from this year's, except for the role players, right? But there's nothing in this year's two matchups to give us any indication of what to look forward to.
Well, I think Kawhi Leonard is going to be interesting to see what he could do to slow down LeBron or be a factor in some way. I think Kawhi Leonard, he's sort of developing, not like in the way Paul George did, right? By the way, Paul George, you know, did not show up in Game 7, but hey, it is what it is, and that's in the past. And Wade did get that 21. Like I was saying, if he got 20, they would definitely win. He dropped 21. But I think Kawhi Leonard, this could be an opportunity where, because of his size and he's decent athletic, you know, pretty decently athletically, if he can, you know, somehow frustrate LeBron a little bit, you know, just sort of, you know, make him give it up. Because I think, you see, the Heat are going to be so happy to play the Spurs because they don't bang and grind like Memphis and the Pacers. So the Spurs are more wide open. So that tends to play into the Heat, and I think that will give Bosch, you know, more open baskets where, you know, he was just really frustrated only, you know, just shooting. I think he can score, and he's proven that against the Spurs. And but I think at the three, we know LeBron's a dominant situation there. But the four, you know, you talk about, you know, the multitude of guys that play four. We see how Chris Anderson and Haslam, and, you know, if they throw in Joel Anthony at all, and then obviously LeBron playing some four too, I'm going to be interested to see Tiago, Splitter, Duncan, and Bonner, just sort of that 4-5 matchup, how these teams really go at it, because, you know, I think the Heat will have to play big sometimes when it's Splitter and Duncan, and then sometimes they'll put Bonner at the three or whatever, and then the Heat, do you do Bosch and Haslam? You know, are you bringing in Birdman, and you know, how much does LeBron play the four in this series?
So I think he'll play, you know, it depends on the hot hand, right? I think that if Norris Cole or Ray Allen or somebody like that starts to shoot and shoot well, and Wade is playing well, or you can go 30 minutes, 35 minutes with Wade in his knees, you might see LeBron play the four, because this is one matchup where he can guard anybody. I mean, he can guard Tim Duncan, right? You know, Tim Duncan, you know, still is crafty and can get his shots off, but ultimately LeBron can hold them. It's not, you know, LeBron's not only but an inch or two shorter than Udonis Haslam and Joel Anthony and so forth. So this isn't a team that you can't see LeBron playing four against. It all depends on, like I said, on shooting, on streak shooting. But I look for Spoelstra to really mix and match his lineup. I look to him to see, you know, he's going to be in a chess match with Popovich, and you're going to see some lineups on the Miami Heat side and some rotations that you might not see very often during the year. But I think he'll just throw everything but the kitchen sink out. I think you'll see some weird, not weird, but, you know, some non-traditional.
Well, maybe like LeBron lineups at the point, Wade and Allen, you know, there too. So you have the three of them. And then you could either throw in Battier and Bosch, or you can do Haslam and Bosch, or Birdman and Bosch, which makes it nice because LeBron's sort of your point three, and you got Wade and Allen, so you got some shooting and penetrating. You know, it's going to be good, man. So let's get to it, man. You know, we kind of all know the X's and O's. We'll see, you know, the long layoff. I don't know about game one. But I got to tell you, for me, I just think Wade can get me two. I think Bosch will play much better. And I think LeBron will be LeBron. I don't want him to play like he did in Cleveland unless he has to. You know, he has a team. He doesn't have to go, you know, 1-on-5. But I got the Heat winning in 7 games.
You know, I thought about it long and hard. And I said, Popovich, you know, can he do it? Can he pull this off? But I agree. I actually like the Heat in 7. And, you know, I had a quick baseball thought, right? And I think that these games are so close, and I think a lot of games will be decided in the last 3 minutes or execution at the end of halves, at the end of quarters. And I think that while I like the execution of the Heat, you know, I certainly love the Spurs execution better, a little bit better at the end of quarter. So it'll be a great series. I hope it goes 7, just from a basketball standpoint. But what I was thinking about was this team has got a lot of pressure on them. Not the Spurs, because the big three have 3 titles together and Timmy obviously has 4. But the other side, Miami Heat, because I was thinking about this. If they win 2 out of 3, this becomes a dynasty, and they are very few that win 2 out of 3 and bring everybody back and potentially win 3 out of 4, you know, whatever. But if they lose,
right,
you know who they become? I throw a baseball analogy at you, and you're old enough, and we're old enough to remember this. They become the 88, 89, 90 Oakland A's. They were the best team in baseball for 3
the
straight
Bash
years. Maybe the Bash Brothers, and then Walt Weiss, and then Dave Stewart, and they've got
Eckersley.
Henderson and Lansford. And Eckersley, these guys were by far the best team in baseball. But they don't go down in history as a legacy team because they lost in 88 to the Dodgers. That was Hershiser and Gibson in game one. Remember with you believe in miracles? You know, Jack Buck calling that game. And then 89 was the only one they won, was against the Giants in that World Series with the
earthquake.
And then they got swept in by Lou Piniella, you know, in Rios. Winning, you know, pitching that great game in 90 against the Reds. So, you know, this team, if they're talking about legacy, they have to win this series, you know. Otherwise, they're just a good team. They won 67 games in the regular season, and that was great. But you know what? They have to win.
And I think LeBron needs this for legacy. As we talk about the top NBA players of all time, and we're just doing 15, you could do, 25, 20, 50, whatever, 10. We're just doing 15 because there's 15 men on an NBA roster. And LeBron, to me, to get where he wants to go, he needs this one over Duncan. He needs to be 1-1 with 1-1 with Duncan, and 2-2, after in the finals total. And I think he needs this to sort of just keep climbing and climbing. That's one thing that we definitely, that he needs.
Yeah. Well, is it going to be too much pressure for LeBron?
Right.
Self-imposed pressure, right?
Yeah, I don't. I really think that he'll be able to come through and he'll be able to do it. And hey, we both agree, he'd do it in seven. And I think it's going to be incredible. It's going to be awesome. And I think both teams will definitely lose on their home court. And you know how I feel. I hate 2-3-2. I think it's very hard for the road team to win three in a row at home. I just think that's really hard. So, well, listen, we'll see. It's going to play out tonight. But Ray and I came up with some thoughts about the NBA greatest, the top 15. This is everything, offense, defense, rings, all-stars, leadership, just the 15 greatest NBA players of all time. And, projecting out a little bit too, we don't know if anybody playing will crack this list. Obviously you think potentially, LeBron and maybe Durant, but, Durant's not there yet and LeBron is sort of kind of there. But let's start at 15, give them a little tease. We'll do it throughout the NBA Finals. So we'll take our time. We might give you two or three at a show, whatever. But we'll post them at rayandtaytoday.com. So, Ray, who do you have at 15, man? Who's your guy?
Well, I got to tell you, rings was, you had to be elite, and then you had to win rings and multiple rings. The only person on my list that doesn't have multiple rings, we'll get into it, LeBron and Oscar Robertson, probably the only two on my list that don't have multiple rings. So, and Julius, I guess, but he won in the ABA.
He has two because the ABA.
Yeah, Jerry West, four. But everybody on my list has rings, and we'll talk about that.
Well, don't give it away. Don't give away your whole list.
No. So I put Isaiah Thomas as my number 15. And, superstar, was an offensive point guard in the beginning of his career and, was putting up humongous stats. Like 24 and 13, in Detroit, running up and down. And then Daly came in. He changed his game. He won two championships and, Chicago to get the championships and then beat, L.A. and Portland in the finals. So Isaiah Thomas, my man, number 15.
And it's funny that you were talking about Isaiah because I had him at honorable mention because I have one guy on my list who has no ring. But I think he's just so dominant and so great. But I was looking at Isaiah, and when I looked at his all-time stats, I was sort of surprised that they weren't as impressive as I initially thought. It was like 17 and nine assists. But I still love Isaiah. But for me, I had to go with Jerry West. And one thing that I didn't realize that, over the years, Oscar was a point guard, but Jerry West also was listed as a point guard. So, him and Goodridge were in that backcourt together. But Jerry West at 15, he averaged for his career 27 points, 6.7 assists and 5 rebounds. So at the point, that's kind of crazy to me. But, back then, what's fascinating, they didn't do steals and blocks. So only in his last year did they do steals. We had 2.6 and 0.7 blocks. So it's so funny when you look at NBA history with some of the stats and stuff like that. But for me, I got Jerry West at 15. So that's,
I have Jerry next. And the thing with Jerry, if you add in his GM, he could be the most important or most effective person in NBA history, right? The rings that he won as a player only won one, and he went to the title all those times and lost to Boston. But add to it what he did as the Lakers GM, and he might be the guy. Well, he is the logo. And,
he is the logo.
So, and rightfully so. So yeah,
they could change it, though. They could change it.
Well, I don't know. Now that the legacy he built as the Lakers GM also, and then check coming out of the Jerry West tree, you know, and then trading for Kobe, you know, and for Vlade Divac, Jerry West is the man.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so you got Jerry at 14.
Yep.
You know, I think we'll have to sort of leave it there. I don't want to tease people too much and whatever. I'll give you my 14 since we're running out of time here, or ran out of time. But for me, it was hard because I really, part of me, you know, wanted to really stick with somebody, you know, that was like a complete, you know, legend and you know, did everything in every way. But for me, I got to tell you, when I had to go down a list, I had to go, wait a minute, I got to bring up my list, disappear. I had to go with the doctor.
Julius.
And Julius Irving to me was, you know, like we said, the ABA, the NBA, I think he is the greatest gentleman of the game. I think they're going to show on June 10th on NBA TV his whole, you know, breakdown of all his stats and everything. But Dr. J, the way he did what he did and how he did it, I mean, it was just incredible. You know what I mean? I think the winning, obviously, is Philadelphia, and they should have won. We always talk about that when they lost to when they lost to the Nets, when they had that team, Barkley's first year with Moses and Barkley and him, they thought they were going to win. But him finally getting over the Celtics. Remember, Doc lost to great people. And in the NBA, the New York Nets, he was just sick and dominating. But Dr. J getting his ring, you know, with Moses and Andrew Toney and getting through the Celtics and just spanking the Lakers, that was impressive.
Yeah.
You know, that was
a great list.
Yeah. So you know what? Let's leave it there. You know, we'll pick up at 13 for both of us next show. And hey, everybody, watch the finals, ABC. You know, Ray and Tay. We will be here. We will be here Monday. You know, so you know, and obviously we'll talk about the first two games and see how they go down. And I'm excited. I think the first two games will probably be a split. You know?
Yeah, like you said, you know, this is like a hockey series where I don't think home court means that much. I mean, these two teams are so good, period, and they're so good on the road that they can both win on each other's home court. So look for a great, great series. I hope so, right? We need one of those nice seven-game series. That'd be great.
Yeah, it can go all the way to June 20th, so that would be nice. That would
love
definitely
it.
Be
love
nice.
It.
You know? Well, another good show, you know, a goodie, but quickie, you know, and
quick hitter.
Yeah, man, the heavy, you know, we're like the heavy hitters, Ray and Tay. So, thanks for listening, talking sports with friends.
We're out.
Peace. Check out those lists on NBA. On RayandTayToday.com.
Blinded to what we really need. They control our minds.
96-93, heat win.